Mark chapter 16, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Lord, we thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome, that you meet us here this morning, that you are worthy of all glory. Lord, we put a pause in our lives, in our week, in our day, and we come to put a focus on you, Lord, to reverence you, to honor you, to say, Lord, you have transformed me. Lord, I want to just put a focus on you, and I want to live, and I want to let those around me see me bringing you glory every day. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Lisa and I went to work in an orphanage. Right after, in fact, 3 days after our wedding for our honeymoon, we traveled the state going down to wonderful, lovely Tecate, Mexico, and we went to go work at Rancho de sus Niños. And we worked there for 3 years, serving the Lord, building churches and schools, and building up the orphanage. And the first church that we worked on, built, was in the little colonia of Morita. And you hear me okay, Danny? Going in and out. Trying to figure out what's going on. Glory, I see it there. I sound good to you, but I don't sound good to Natty is the thing. Well, all right. So anyway, the first church that we built was in the colonia called Morita, and it's in Florido on the eastern edge of Tijuana. I'm sure moved past Florido by now in the last 20 years, but we built it at Christmas time, and I can hear it. Popping in and out. Wow. All right, for Natty. Glory, hallelujah. Just there, Natty. There, whoa. Man, it's been a long time. I don't even know if I could do this. Let's see. There we go. All right. So it was at Easter time, and we're building this church. At Christmas, we had laid the foundation for it, and in Mexico, you build right up to the property line, so we had the foundation was set. It was a homestead situation there, Morita, where if you were a Mexican citizen, you could pay a little bit of money, and you would get a plot of land in this neighborhood that was being established. And we ended up buying a plot, or actually two plots, from some guys who had homesteaded. So we built the church, we put the foundation down, and at Easter time, we fired up the brick machine. And what you would do is you take a backhoe and put a bunch of dirt in the brick machine, and out would come bricks. A lot of clay in the dirt in Tecate. And so we're building this church, and we started having church before the walls were even done. We started on one end and got the walls up going about 10 feet high and started scooping around. And that first day we started having church and people were getting saved and it was cool. And the kids are making bricks all day long. We're bringing dirt and making these walls and they're coming around. And it starts getting cold. It starts getting windy. It starts getting rainy like it has been around here. And it starts raining. Well, there in Morita, there's no power, there's no water, there's no sewage, there's no roads. There is dirt roads. And so when it rained in the eastern edge of Tijuana, everything stopped because it was slick. You could not get around. And so we go back to the orphanage. We come back the next day, and there is 6 inches of mud in the church. And we couldn't work, we couldn't have church, we couldn't do anything for the Lord until we got that mud out. Can I get a witness on that? And so me and Pastor Luis, man, we are scooping out this mud and pushing out this mud and sweeping out this mud and cleaning out this mud. And we finally end up getting all this mud out so that we can get back to work and start glorifying God. Amen? Well, that night it rains again. And we come in the next morning, and there's 6 more inches of mud at the bottom of the... And now, when you're building your church out of mud, you don't want mud on the floor because it eats... And we're seeing these blocks are about that big around, big, that thick, and they were getting eaten away by this water. And the water's coming, but... Again, we get it swept out, and we are able to begin to glorify the Lord. Amen? I tell you this because so often our lives kind of look like that church, a little filled with mud. Can I get a witness on that? We're going to start this series on making a climb. We have been talking, started out in January, about lightening the load. And sometimes it can be a challenge to climb when you are loaded down with sin. Can I get a witness on that? And so if you want to deal, we talk about how to deal with the sin in your life with confession, with repentance, and with forgiveness. And it will lighten the load. Then last month through February, we were taking a look at the curse. Because we are indeed surrounded by the curse. Amen? Anybody feeling the effects this week of the curse in your life, right? Kind of starts infringing upon you. But as we make the connection with the kingdom of God, we are able to push back on the curse and we're able to shine that light for the Lord. Amen? Moving on up. That's what we're going to be talking about as we begin to get some freedom in our lives from sin. And I hope you guys, I know many of you have experienced that you have pushed back that sin. It's like scooping that mud out. You know, that mud, what we had to do, we had to take a backhoe and because the church was on a hill. And as the water came running down the hill, it was a devil move. But and the devil will move in your life, right? He'll try and smash you down. And it was the water would come running down this street, this dirt road, and it would run right into the church. And so we got the backhoe, and we set up this berm so that the water, when it rained the next day, it ran down the dirt road and not into the church, and we're able to continue to do that. Amen? And so as you begin to push back on the curse, and as you begin to get free from sin, we are able to then do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And as we connect with the kingdom of God, we're able to connect with our kingdom purpose, and that is to bring glory to God. Him. Amen? Title of his message is Moving On Up, and we are going to talk about the kingdom of God, moving up in the kingdom, and discovering how close that the kingdom truly is to us. Amen? Amen. I told somebody if they went to sleep today, I was going to throw a Bible at them. I'm looking for ammo. There it is. It's actually not a Bible. It's a hymnal. It's a hymnal. There we go. Because the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, but a hymnal kind of fly through the air. Good. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4. It's chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. We do not lose heart. Can I get a witness on that? I hope you come in here encouraged, even though there's challenges out there. Because it says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light, everybody say light, and momentary, everybody say momentary. See, our light, and that's what you got. Your troubles are light. Did it feel light this week? Sometimes it feels a little heavy. Amen. Paul says, our light and momentary troubles or afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And I want to let you know that the problems that you've got, the issues that you have in your home, in your life, with your family, all have a purpose. God has a purpose in that. See, outwardly, we are wasting away. We got problems. All God's people got problems. Amen? We got caught in the impact of sin and the curse, and we are trying to get free. And sometimes you can just feel like you cannot move. Amen? That you are just bound up. We got health problems. We got job problems. We got kid problems. I don't know what your problem is, but I know you got some problems. Amen? And so as I mentioned problems, you put your problem here. We got notes and stuff you can write down. My problem is, because they are there for you to be able to connect with a king. Amen? As you lift your problem to heaven. See, you got to identify it. You got to name it. You got to grab onto your problem. You begin to lift up your problem to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I got so many of us raised our hand this morning. We were taking the offering. Yeah, I got some financial issues. Say, Lord, I bring my financial issue to you. And what happens as you do that, you are able to connect with our King in the midst of your problem. Amen? And when the devil sees you connecting with the King in your problems, he's going to stop bringing them problems to you. Amen? Because he don't want you connected to the King. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attuned to their prayer. And it is when you are in your problems that you're able to reach up to him and say, God, I'm so messed up. And he says from heaven, I know you are. You are surrounded by sin. You look like this dude right there. He goes, you're surrounded, man. He said, but I'm here, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And then the next time you got a problem come your way, all you're doing is you are just waiting for the opportunity to connect with the King. And when you connect with him, you connect with your purpose, which is to bring him glory. Amen? All right. Let's continue going. We're going to read verse 18. We just read 16 and 7, verse 18. So, in the midst of your challenge, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your light and momentary affliction, amen, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, Paul says, you got to make a connection, and you got to keep that connection. See, a lot of people come in here this morning saying, oh, I just love worship time. And I just feel the presence of the Lord. Amen? And you walk out and it's gone. You start chasing your problems. And you chase them all week long. Till you come back in here and say, oh, Lord, I just want to feel good today. See, it's easy to focus on what is seen. My bills, my job, my car, my kids, my wife, my parents, my what, your problem here. See, you get up in the morning, it is so easy to start chasing those problems, and you are chasing those problems all day long. Amen? And you get up tomorrow morning, there's going to be a whole nother batch of problems that you are going to spend your day chasing. And Paul is saying, you got to redirect your attention. We need to get our eyes off the temporary and start focusing on the eternal. Because the temporary is like shifting sands. Amen? And the eternal is like the solid rock, a firm foundation. It is as you begin to stand on the firm foundation that you are able to climb. Climb up into the kingdom and begin to work his purpose for you, which is to bring him glory. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be problems, but incredibly, it is in the midst of your problems that you're able to connect with him and able to bring him glory. And the people around you go, how did you do that? Amen? Because they're crumbling. They got the same kind of problems. And they see you grabbing onto the King of the universe and finding renewal in the midst of your challenges. And how do you do that? And you say, well, let me tell you. I know the King of glory. And in the midst of my challenges, I'm grabbing onto him so that I can bring him glory. Amen? Now, how to establish your time. Well, I have been working on prayer and devotions, and, you know, I can't fast because I'm a diabetic, although I've been thinking, okay, I got to work this out. God's bigger than diabetes. Can I get a witness on that? But what I do is I open my day, and I will write today's date. Today's date is 3-3. I didn't do it today because I was preaching already this morning a couple times. But yesterday I wrote down 3-2, and then I write yesterday. And I go through yesterday, and I write down what happened yesterday. And as I write that down, there'll be sometimes some situations I interacted with you guys. And sometimes the Lord will just bring you to my mind, and I'll put you on my list, and I'll just start writing down all the stuff, right? And I'm just kind of throwing the stuff out to God. Say, God, okay, what do you want? What do you want? How did I mess up? What was good? What can I celebrate yesterday, you know? And what do I need to fix today? And how can I glorify you today? And I begin to go through that, and it takes about a half hour. And I'll end up with this, and I invariably come off of yesterday, and I'll start working on today. Right? Because he says, this is what you need to do today. You got to fix this and this and this. And there's going to be an opportunity that's going to come up today, and you're going to get ready for that. All right? So it's about a half an hour. About a half an hour. And then I grab my daily reading log. And we got those in the back. And I remember when I was a new Christian, people say, did my devotions. What is devotions? You know? Like some secret Christian code word? And, this right here, this you can do your devotions right here. Right under the top says 20 minutes that'll change your life. 20 minutes a day, change your life. And so I link up with the Lord for about a half an hour, and then I do this. And I write notes on this, too, because I will put a little blurb on the City Heights Assembly of God Facebook page, not the prayer page, but the regular page. And so I make some notes, and then I go on there 5 minutes so that we're talking about Numbers and Mark, and you got some questions, you can go there and say, what is he talking about? And I'll try and give it a shot. And then, so I prayed for half an hour. I've read the Bible and done this thing for another half an hour, 45 minutes. Then I'll go back to pray. Because what happens is I get connected to the Lord, and then I'll read the word, get some truth in me, amen, and then I'll come back to my prayer, and my prayer is redirected because of the word that comes in, amen, and then I'm synced up with God, and I'm ready to go out and try to bring him glory, amen. You could do that. I get up pretty early, but you know what? You start getting up early, you'll go to bed early. You know, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's about 9 o'clock, and I'm going to bed. And everybody's, what are you doing? You know, it's like, I've been up since 4. And it kind of sorts itself out. Amen? But when it sorts itself out, you want to keep your eyes on the eternal, and the kingdom is eternal. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said to them all, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, whoever wants to be my disciple. Who wants to be a disciple of the Lord this morning? I'm looking. It's all these people going, I don't care. All right, that's good. I like those hands going up high. Yeah. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. He's going, what? Must take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. And he asks a question. He says, what good is it for someone? What good is it for you? What good is it for me to gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's not very good. Amen? All right. Jesus points us to the path. And he says, if you're going to move up the kingdom, you're going to have to put the kingdom first. Amen? And you know, this comes as a surprise to a lot of people. Because they go, wait a minute. I thought the kingdom of God, I thought church was all about getting to heaven. And Jesus, he got a ticket for me, a free ride to heaven. And I'm sorry to tell you that there ain't no free rides in the kingdom. Now, there are some people There's some people who think that it is through their pain and their suffering and their sacrifice that they buy their ticket. Well, they missed the mark too. You say, well, what are we doing here? Well, what we are doing here is following the truth. Because whatever you got, you want to make sure that it's real. Amen? In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus was talking about who he was and revealing himself to the people. And a lot of people said, this is hard. And they all left. He had been passing out bread and food and all this kind of stuff, doing miracles, healing the sick. He said, this is tough. We're out of here. And he turns to the disciples and he says, aren't you guys leaving too? And Simon Peter says, Peter answered him, Lord, where are we going to go? Because you alone have words of eternal life. See, you might not like God's plan, but it is God's plan. And as you connect with him, he's going to allow you to understand and grab onto your kingdom purpose, and that is to bring him glory. Now, I realize that it's kind of like, what? Really? Really. Because the more you bring him closer, the more you bring him glory, the closer you get to him. Amen? All right. We okay? I'm trying. He told us, I got this, man. I mean,
if it wasn't for Natty, I could just go loud, but
I got to go for Natty because we need it in Spanish, right? Espanol, está bien. You listening? Espanol? Yeah? All right, see? Right there for Caleb. For Angela, we got it. And he told him this parable. He told him a story. Let's listen to the story of the Lord. He says, the ground, and you can go off on the ground, but we're just going to keep on going. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops. And then he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my little barns, and I'm going to build some big barns, and there I'm going to store all my grain. And then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, there's a lot of people who underline that part. Take life easy. You know, that's the one I want to memorize right there. That's like verse 12:18. That's my life verse. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The words of Jesus spoken to me, spoken to my heart. But God said to him, you fool. See, don't memorize that part. Just leave that part right off. Said, this very night your life is going to be demanded from you. That means he's going to die. And then who's going to get all this stuff that you stored up for yourself? And this is how it's going to be. For whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Bam. See, there are those who make poor choices. Story of a rich man who gets even richer. He's going to live the good life, eat, drink, and be merry. It's a man totally caught up in the here and now and the joys of life, pleasures of life. He's the guy who will gain the whole world and miss out on eternity. Jesus said this man's running right into a problem and he don't even know because he's going to die tonight. He's heading for judgment, and he's not going to be happy with the results. He's not rich toward God. His eyes were not on eternity. And I want to let you know this morning that if you are not focused on eternity, you're going to miss it. I'm sorry. If your eyes are not focused on eternity, you'll miss it. Say, wait a minute. I thought the church was all about Jesus just kind of herding us in like lost sheep into eternity. Well, there is that. But there's the backside. What's your focus? See, this rich guy didn't have a focus. Sounded like he could be living in San Diego. Sounded like he could be living in City Heights. I want to eat, drink, and be merry. We are surrounded by people who are not rich toward God. And if you don't have a kingdom connection, there's no way you're going to find your kingdom purpose. That is to glorify him. Amen? All right, Danny, get ready here. My wonderful wife came up with a connection to Saturate USA. And they are doing Saturate San Diego. I'm going to let them tell you about it.
As Christians, we recognize that our beloved country is in turmoil and needs a spiritual reawakening, the kind that leads to true repentance and genuine revival.
Jesus said very specifically, go and make disciples of all nations. But we have to begin first in our Jerusalem.
It's not one individual's responsibility, it's the church's responsibility.
The church needs to leave the building to go to the city.
And I guess another way to say it is it's harvest time. I mean, you're ignoring the obvious if you don't see it's harvest time.
Saturate USA is a God-sized vision that seeks to take the love of the gospel to 60 million families and homes by the end of 2020, with the goal to help the church ignite repentance and revival in this country.
I do believe it's possible to see every home reached in a city because I believe it's the heart of our Father, and so nothing's impossible for him.
This is a vision that's helping bring the body of Christ together in ways that can only be described as divinely inspired.
It can be done in America.
And the time is now.
This can be accomplished as long as we're obedient. Once you say go, you go.
Christ for All Peoples is helping thousands of local churches reach their nearest mission fields with free evangelistic materials, including multi-language Jesus film DVDs.
The Saturate model, I think, is excellent.
I'm like, wow, this sounds like what I love to do, this evangelism.
It's exciting to me because it's not just one organization doing it.
They're blessing the local congregations where they're coming in with a heart to serve rather than be served.
The Saturate process is simple. Anchor churches receive deliveries of DVDs and materials and mobilize volunteers to assemble thousands of packets with creative tracks, DVDs, in each church's information. Participating churches then come together to pray, receive neighborhood maps and packets, and go into communities to distribute to homes.
It was very refreshing to hear them say, God's already provided the funds for this. We just need the hands and feet.
This has provided the money, the resources to release what the heart is of these different local churches.
And each of us gets our own ownership of it, that we can communicate with the people in our communities. Something that one organization or one church could never do across a whole city, to be able to be that personal with individuals, to meet their needs and also personally connect with them with the gospel.
God is moving today. I think I have some perspective, having been at ministry for many years. And I can tell you more's happening today than was happening 50 years ago.
God is pulling his body together.
Well, this is the work of the Holy Spirit.
It will come to fruition. It will touch lives.
Our country needs to rediscover the message of the gospel. And we need to cry out in prayer for revival to sweep our land.
And it's thrilling to my heart to see the synergy.
We can do it as a team, as we join hands and heart with other churches and other brothers and sisters.
And we're communicating the gospel. We're doing it together, and we're uniting for the sake of Jesus Christ.
United in love, and with God on our side, one city at a time, we can win America back to Christ. Find out how you and your church can get involved in bringing the Saturate USA movement to your city. Sign up now at saturateusa.org.
Well, my wife signed us up. So we got Saturate City Heights right here. And they give a little applause right there, everybody. Just some people aren't applauding. It's 8:05 to 15. 15. 15. 15 to 8:05 University South, this little triangle right around the church. There we get a little bag, and we put the Jesus video in it in 8 languages. There's some tracks, and we get to put invitations to Easter Sunday. Our church, on the back, we're going to put it in Spanish. We're going to find some other church they can go to if they speak Spanish, which is a lot of folks. And we're going to do this on April 6th and April 13th, Saturday morning. We can do it in two Saturdays. Some of the Teen Challenge guys are going to come over and help us. So if you get a kingdom connection, you get a kingdom purpose. And it's so that we get to bring him glory. Amen? This kind of stuff right here, kind of stuff that makes that possible. Amen? Amen? And it's a little, wait a minute, two Saturdays. That's that whole deny yourself and pick up your cross. Amen? Sometimes just pick up a bag. All right, here we go. Kingdom is a challenge. Some of you guys thinking, that's not those bags going to be a challenge. Yeah, you might have to actually talk to somebody about the Lord. Somebody say, you know this Jesus? Yeah, I got a connection to the kingdom. I know my purpose. I got to bring him glory. So let me tell you about him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. We're going to talk about the challenge of the kingdom of God. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you. He doesn't say we make a suggestion. Command. Amen? We command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Anyone who is unwilling to work shall not eat. See, everybody gets the opportunity to connect. And you're thinking right there, wait a minute, I got to feed my family. I got to pay my rent. God does not want me to be destitute. Can I get a witness on that? Man, I have lost all my amends out there. I know, I saw that. I'll buy you lunch, son. That is entirely true. The Lord does not want you to become destitute, but he also wants you to keep your eye on the kingdom. Can I get a witness on that? And for many of us, because what we're talking about now is our obligations. And for many of us, it is not our obligation that keeps us away from the Lord, but our desire for leisure. A desire to watch a Padres game. Dare I say a Chargers game. Sometimes I just want to sleep in. You know what? I'm glad Jesus didn't sleep in on that resurrection or on that Passover Friday. See, he was there for us, and he's saying, you know what? You're gonna be my disciple. You're going to have to follow me with self-denial, and you're going to pick up a cross. You got to make a sacrifice. A lot of people in San Diego say, I don't know about that, man. I'm down for that free ticket. And I'll show up when I show up, Jesus better just be happy because I'm doing him a favor. You know, and when I show up, he really doesn't expect me to be there on time. Anybody know what time church starts? Right. Somebody said 5 to 10. I like that. I like that. Paul was arguably the greatest evangelist of the first century. And he worked tirelessly day and night. He didn't let his work get in the way of the kingdom. Sadly, in our culture, there's a lot of people, anything gets in the way of the kingdom. It's just because the kingdom is not much of a priority in their lives. Now, if you're going to climb the mountain of the Lord, writer of Hebrews talks about the mountain of God, the New Jerusalem, different from Mount Sinai. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He says, if you're going to climb the mountain of God, it is going to be your priority. He said that there is no part-time climbers that are going to make it to the top of the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that, please? Thank you very much. I got to ask you if you're climbing. I got to ask you if you're shining. And I got to ask you if you're rich toward God. Because if you're not connected to the kingdom, you don't have a connection to his purpose for you, which is to bring him glory. Amen? Last thing I got for you this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. That's thick. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, everybody say we. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be, might exist, might live, might stand, might climb for the praise of his glory. See, God's plan is for glory, his glory. So many of us come to the Lord looking for our glory. He says, you're working the wrong plan. Now, to accomplish his glory, the Holy Spirit comes to live in each of us. And the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, brings us conviction of sin so that we might bring him glory. The Holy Spirit also empowers us, equips us to serve in the body of Christ. To serve right here. Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that each one has received a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. It is my job. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. It is my job to aid you to discover your gift in bringing him glory and giving you the opportunity to use that gift. Amen? When we do that, God is glorified in our midst. We grow closer to him. We have a saying around here, every member a minister, because everybody's got that gift and everybody's using it. Use that gift, you bring him glory. The more glory you bring to him, the closer you get to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Lisa, you want to come up and play? There are many of you here this morning that are climbing. You have pushed back the sin, broken the bondages of sin in your life, the curse, you're moving away from the curse and you're not trapped anymore and you got some movement and you begin to make that climb and you get closer to him and you see your purpose that God, I want to bring you glory. And the people around you are saying, whoa, what is up with you? I want a little bit of what you got. You see, lives being touched by what the Lord is doing in you. And you are climbing and you're saying, Lord, I want to bring you some glory. And this morning, I celebrate you. And this morning, I want to let you know as well that the Lord celebrates you. That we keep our eye on the kingdom and we keep our eye on eternity. And one day we receive those words, that message, well done. Good and faithful servant. And for some of you this morning, the Holy Spirit has been whispering to you from the first words of this message. He's talking about you. and just going, whoo, yeah. You know, yeah, I got problems, but I'm being renewed day after day after day. The more problems I got, the closer I get to him, and the more he pours out his spirit in my life, and I am transformed. Oh, yeah. And you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, that's you. There's a celebration in heaven right now for you. There's a celebration right now because you are climbing, because you are bringing him glory. Are you done yet? No. Are you perfect yet? No. But he says you're going to get better tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Amen? Lord, just speaking to you this morning, just say, Lord, hallelujah. Just receive that. Say, Lord, I just receive, Lord, your purpose for my life. God, speaking to your heart, just raise your hands right now. Just say, Lord, I just receive that for my life, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I am looking for more. I'm looking to do more. I want to know you. I want to glorify you. Lord, just speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit, just speaking to you, just saying, yeah, that's you. That's you. Just raise your hand up. Say, Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise, Lord. I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just receive that. Just receive that right now. Just that. Holy Spirit connection, that kingdom connection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Because there's someone here this morning. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. And it's not really been a whisper. Not you. Further we got into this message, not you. You're like that rich man. Then you might not even be rich. But your eyes are not on the kingdom. Your eyes are all about you. And you're wondering, man, I wonder what they're cooking for lunch today. I hope this rain hasn't closed down the grill. Man, I want to get something good. I'm going to try and beat everybody else down there because I can get first. You're saying it's all about me. And the Holy Spirit all day, not you. One day you're going to die. And there's going to be a judgment day. Your life will be demanded and you're going to stand before the Lord. And he's going to say, you missed eternity because you didn't have your eyes on it. This morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And he says, you're missing me. You're missing my plan. You're missing my purpose. You got no ticket. You got no ticket. And perhaps right now he's saying it could be you. And you're saying, Lord, I don't want to walk out of here. I don't want to walk out of here the way I walked in here, Lord. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know the author and the finisher of my faith, Lord. I want to be able to stand on a firm foundation. And Lord, speaking to you, you don't even know what any of that stuff means because that's all coming right out the Bible. But you're saying, Lord, I'm lost and I want to be found. I want to surrender my life. Nobody looking around. If you were putting your hand up earlier and the Lord is speaking to you because it is you and